Welcome to the Children's Law Podcast, brought to you by True North Child Advocates, where we believe that advocacy is the answer. Hey, everybody, it's Angela Orkin. Today's podcast is a first in a series. We recorded a number of podcasts at the NACC conference in Anaheim, and we want to thank everybody that took the time to interview with us. Our first conversation is with Kim Dvorak, Executive Director of the National Association of Counsel for Children. The NACC hosts this conference every year, and we would really encourage everyone to go. It's a great opportunity to be around other children's lawyers, to find out what's going on throughout the country, and to have some really excellent top-notch training. If you're already a member of the NACC, I would encourage you to listen today. There's some exciting things coming, and there's some resources you may have even forgotten about. If you haven't joined the NACC, I think you'll want to listen today to hear more about the organization and how it supports our profession. So, Kim, can you just start by telling us a little bit about the NACC and what it does to support lawyers around the country?
Sure. The National Association of Counsel for Children was founded about 42 years ago to make sure that when lawyers are in the courtroom representing children, they understand the law, they understand all the principles of child development, they understand the human services systems that these children are working in abuse and neglect cases. We started as a membership organization and with an annual conference. And here we are 42 years later with a membership component and an annual conference. And what we've seen expand throughout the years is our training. We offer the core competencies in child welfare law. We have also been accredited by the American Bar Association to certify attorneys as child welfare law specialists. That's been a development in the last, say, 12 years. There are now almost 600 lawyers in the country who are active child welfare law specialists.
A bunch in Georgia, where I'm from. Yeah.
Yes, Georgia is a very active state. We're very proud of that community. And so that's one avenue to raise the bar for an attorney to apply to become a specialist and to take an exam to demonstrate their competency and their expertise, we think is a way to improve legal representation. And then we've also been doing some training in states looking at delivery systems development and how do we help use the new funding around Title IV-E to look at expanding delivery systems. So we do have some consulting work that we do, but with our new strategic plan, NACC is really beefing up our member resources. We offer a members-only webinar every other month. We offer a bi-monthly law journal. And we're working every day to increase resources for our members to really expand our reach and then engage the community in reform efforts taking place.
And this year we're in Anaheim for your convention, and I know you've got the next 2 years planned out. Where are you next year?
We do. We will be in Baltimore August 24th through the 26th of 2020, and then we will be in Denver, Colorado in August 13th, 14th of 2021.
Nice. Well, going back to the webinars, I can say to our listeners that those are very helpful. You have put together really great speakers, and they've been very practical. And I think that's something that alone is a reason to join. But I think that's a great way to have current issues put out there. Doesn't require somebody to read a huge amount of information. You can just kind of participate, get some practical tips, and keep moving, which is one of the challenges as a children's lawyer, for sure.
Exactly. And they're all recorded, so members can listen to them online, on our website, anytime. There are places on our website where you can submit an advocacy request, where practitioners can submit an amicus request, and that will go directly to the legal department to provide a response. So we're here to serve our members in any way we can to support their advocacy on the local level or to support their training needs.
That's great, because there are a lot of us out there who are on our own, and we need support, and sometimes it's just hard to do the job. We want to do the job. We love have the compassion for it, but we need a little support.
Definitely. One of the first events yesterday that I got to attend was the Children's Law Office Project meeting, and so I thought maybe today, Kim, you could tell us a little more about the relaunch of that and what it might offer to people out in the field.
Happy to. So NACC started the Children's Law Office Project in the early 2000s to build a network and find the lawyers who were specializing in children's law offices. It wasn't like today, where we have some pretty sophisticated offices providing multidisciplinary representation. Those existed, but probably less in number. And so there was a desire to really identify and locate the specialized child law office practitioners and leaders and network them together and then produce a series of tools. So the big project that was produced in that time was the Child Law Office Guidebook, and that is divided into three sections. There's an administrative section, a program section, a development and marketing section that really teaches the nuts and bolts on law office management, because many leaders who run these offices come out of lawyering. They come out of trial court practice. They come out of maybe appellate practice, and they're very good at what they do. They rise to the top, and then they land in a management role where suddenly they're looking at budgets and personnel and fundraising and meeting with your state legislature and all of those different tasks that are another skill set that people need to learn and that people need to have support.
Well, and I would add that that was at the time when I was running the Florida program, and I used that manual regularly. I would reference it for different things. But for me, it was, I didn't have any peers in the state of Florida. I didn't have, we were a new office that was created. And so to just be able to go and be in a room with a bunch of people, kind of different forms, didn't matter so much. It was the same struggle, was really meaningful to me. So I, when I learned this was going to be launched, I was really excited. But the other part that I thought was interesting from the meeting yesterday was it seemed like there were a number of startups, you know, startup law offices, whereas maybe the last one was a little more established. And I think that's pretty exciting for people in states where there isn't any sort of county or statewide coordination of representation.
Absolutely. We are now seeing the emergence of the second generation, I think, of children's law office leaders and people who maybe are interested in becoming, who were attending our meeting as well. We opened it up to current leaders, senior staff, and those interested in becoming, to really open up the pathway to leadership and support along those lines. So that was really what was, I think, was exciting, is we had kind of the old crew, so to speak, who are on the original advisory board that are sort of the league of legends in our practice,
definitely,
in the room. And then we have the young up-and-coming attorneys who are just trying to figure it all out and need that support and need that connection. And I think we already built a couple mentoring relationships just in the room, informally, on the side. So that's exactly what we're trying to do.
What is the future of this? I wasn't there yesterday. So where is this going? Is there more to it? Is this just the beginning?
This is just the beginning of the relaunch of the project. The Children's Law Office project was called CLOP. So
yes,
we are
we're
informally calling it CLOP 2.0. And there'll be now a process of re-networking each other, of setting up a listserv, setting up a list so we can see who is in each state, how do we connect each other with, and then we'll do a series of surveys to figure out what are the needs, what are people interested in doing. We've talked about an update to the Children's Law Office Guidebook. We've talked about an annual convening, both tied to our national conference, but maybe independent of the conference, having an annual meeting for law office managers, maybe to do some self-care, maybe somewhere very nice that would
be
sunny,
lovely,
and
yeah,
relaxing, to really support and, you know, provide a little release, because it is a very hard job.
Do you have to be invited, or can anyone just apply, or how does it work?
Well, this Children's Law Office convening at this conference was fairly open. We did initially invite the leaders that are known to us in our current network. So we had kind of a limited registration for a period to give all of them an opportunity to apply. And then it was on our website, and we put it on Facebook.
Oh,
so
cool.
It was out there. It was marketed. We also had a number of people present who were court improvement project directors or who were involved in reform efforts in their state. So they were interested, I think, with the developments around 4E expansion. It's great to see stakeholders wanting to support the development of children's law offices, particularly multidisciplinary representation and pre-petition representation, looking at some innovative strategies to really expand what we're doing currently.
I do remember when NACC did the recognition event of when CLOP came out back in 2000 and whatever it was, 4, 5, 6, and I went to that, and I still have relationships from that all those years later. It's really awesome. I really learned a lot from that program, and it supported us. You know, and I did use that book, just like you did, Angela.
Oh, did you?
Sure.
Yeah. It's good. I still have it somewhere.
Yeah,
but,
I don't know if I have it anymore. I would like a new one.
Absolutely. Happy to send it to you. And we welcome your comments.
Yeah, no, I think it's a great, it'd be interesting to read it now and see how much, sometimes I'm disappointed by how much hasn't changed.
Right.
You know, there's certainly been a lot of developments in representation, but the topics are still very similar. And I think it's because of what you said earlier, which is that you have lawyers being really good lawyers, and then all of a sudden they need to raise money from foundations. And that is not the same skill set. And, you know, I heard a lot of people, you know, they're in nonprofits and they may have a contract, but it's not enough. And so then how do you do that? And I think that would be, I guess everybody struggles with that, right? But I think being able to help somebody who's trying to, whether it's to get a foundation grant or talk to their judge about raising their rate, you know, I think those kind of, that messaging type stuff would be really helpful. I mean, I hear a lot of need for that.
Absolutely. I think the fundraising piece, the capacity building components will be a piece of this moving forward. I think we need to partner together to do outreach to the foundation community. I'm doing quite a bit of that. You know, other folks in our circles are doing quite a bit of that. But we do need to interest more funders in this work. There are plenty of foundations that are supporting children's advocacy in some fashion. They're supporting children in schools. They're supporting children's health. They're supporting, you know, you name it, a range of intersecting issues. But they see legal as a standalone bucket.
Well, who
that
wants
they're
to fund,
not in.
Who wants to fund lawyers,
they're not
right?
In that
That's not
bucket.
It doesn't sound.
So.
It doesn't. Well, it doesn't. I mean, most people don't think about lawyers and think, oh, I think they need more money. You know, I think it's a real thing. But if you draw the line between the child and show that it's really what you're providing is an important resource to the child, then I think it's an easier sell. Yeah, I would love to see us all partner on working on some messaging that would help people at the local level.
And I think this type of network will be able to draw some pro bono support, some perhaps ad agencies who would like to work with us on marketing, messaging, you know, maybe even some foundations that would be willing to put together some seed money to explore with the funding community. You know, you support education for children. These children's lawyers help children access education. You know, you support extended foster care. These children's lawyers help children access extended foster care. So building that messaging and being very clear about it, I think is something we could all put our you know, minds to.
Yes, that's a great idea. So are there any other things that the NACC is doing right now that you think would be particularly interesting to practitioners out there?
Yes, I think two things that NACC is focused on currently is implementation of the Family First Prevention Services Act and providing nuts and bolts resources to the field. We're working with the American Bar Association, Center for Children and the Law, on developing a number of resources, and then particularly on Title IV-E implementation. What we've done now to help implement both and to grow our reach is to develop a state coordinator initiative. So NACC will have kind of a key member liaison in every state, and they will be able to keep us informed of what are the developments in policy, what are the appellate developments in their state, are there cases coming up that we might consider for amicus briefs, are there bills pending to advance representation for children, are there delivery system development questions. So we're really excited about kind of developing a feedback loop with our members and our practitioners on the ground so that we have a better sense of what's taking place and they have the resources from the national office to be able to use locally.
Excellent. I was going to ask you on Family First and 4E, if somebody out there is not yet connected with NACC on that, where can they go to see what's going on or where are the resources for that?
They can go to our website, which is nacccchildlaw.org. And under our training menu tab, we have a page on Family First that provides a link to probably one of the key resources out there, familyfirstact.org. NACC is a partner organization to familyfirstact.org, so we do help provide resources to that. On that page is also a great tool NACC developed with the ABA called the Every Kid Needs a Family Toolkit that helps lawyers go through the process of investigating and advocating to keep children in families and to keep children out of congregate care facilities. We also have policy pages on our website. One has a ton of links on Title IV-E expansion, and the other has information about CAPTA, the Child Abuse Prevention and Treatment Act, which is up for reauthorization.
So this has been incredibly helpful. Is there anything else you want to add before we wrap up today?
I think what's most exciting about where NACC is headed in the next 5 years is that we want to build a movement. We want to build a movement of lawyers for children, parents, agencies who will stand up for what's best for children at the local level and to mobilize at the national level. I mean, at the 5-year point, we hope to have an incredible amount of members that we can mobilize and that we can take to DC and have a lobby day and that we can, you know, be a force in changing policy and in standing up for children and children's rights.
Fantastic. I love that.
Well, it's very exciting, and thank you again for taking the time to talk with us today.
Thank you for having me.
You've been listening to the Children's Law Podcast brought to you by True North Child Advocates. Please take a moment to subscribe and spread the word. Thank you.